Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and part of SP Angel. And John, you're back in the office, are you?
I am, certainly.
I thought they were telling people not to go back to the office. Well, I don't know where they are now. Are they saying go back, or are they saying stay out of the office? It's almost like you get on the bus to go and they say, don't go to the office. What? You just told me to go to the office. No, come out, don't. So you don't know, from day to day, you don't know where we are. But you decided that's a thing now, you're going to do that once a week, or what's happening?
Yeah, we're doing a few days every other week. Keep the numbers down, but get the team together. Yeah. Team cohesion, it's all good things. See what remind ourselves what everybody looks like, et cetera, et cetera.
I think they change the rules so often now, the government. I think people just use common sense. That's it. Just ignore what the government is saying. Use common sense. I think that the face, space, and hands is very good. Just remember those things, you know. Mask in your face, wash your hands, keep a distance, and use a bit of common sense, you know. And because I think some of the other policies the government are bringing in, making it worse. The 10 p.m. thing. Do you see Liverpool last night? The people dancing in the streets, jumping on each other. That's not going to help, is it? So I think there's certain things that don't make any common sense. So common sense, I think, is the way forward, isn't it?
It is, because we had a few people who'd been skiing and brought the virus back early on in the lockdown, or before the lockdown.
You said they brought it back there, like it was something to declare.
And we know they had the virus, but we know that only a couple of other guys in the office actually caught it, and maybe caught it from them or from elsewhere. So we know that the precautions that one takes, the hand washing, the distancing type stuff, does actually work. And we're advised by Vadim Alexandre, who is our healthcare analyst, and I think as a result of that, we've been able to manage the situation very well.
Yeah, so this is interesting, because in your office, how many guys tested positive? They didn't know that. They were asymptomatic, weren't they?
Five. So we had at least two or three who came back from skiing who definitely had it. I was actually had a coffee sitting right opposite a client who also had it, because he was tested positive a week later, but the rest of us haven't had it. So it goes to show that actually the procedures work.
Yeah, but did you say that they know they had it, or were they asymptomatic?
They didn't know they had it at the time.
How old are the guys?
50, 65.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because it seems like now that it's not as I'm starting to think that, you know, some of the time it's not as bad as we think, you know, because unless you have an underlying health condition, of course. But I mean, most people, you can discount Trump, even though he's obese and he's over 70. He had seven doctors, pretty much, or 10 doctors, so, and the medication. But very interesting, actually, the medication he's had, the trial, the drugs he took from Eli Lilly. that trial is now on pause. They paused it yesterday because there's thrown up an issue with one of the guys there being tested, and they have to pause it to examine the figures. So Trump didn't affect Trump, though.
Well, maybe they're worried.
Maybe it did affect him.
Trump was looking a little bit orange at his last convention.
Yeah, but that's down to him just being a bit over-enthusiastic with Dan, the fake Dan. Right, there's, almost like saying, let's make myself look more healthy than I went in. And so he just said, more orange. So... Why not in your email newsletter? We'll sign up for this if you're a resource fan and a fan of macro. John's SP Angel Morning View. And you've got there about the IMF. I know it's a forecast shallower recession amid $12 trillion stimulus. So it's going to be shallower, but it's going to last a bit longer. Is that right?
Yes, and the IMF, I don't know if they're quoting our figures, but they're certainly quoting very similar figures to the numbers that we added up from stimulus packages some months ago. And we got so bored of putting those numbers out that we stopped doing it. Yeah. And actually, the policymakers have also stopped adding to stimulus in recent months, although we're expecting the US to add a meaningful extra package at some point. Probably before the election, but who knows? Depends on how well that suits Mr. Trump. But the IMF do see a contraction of 4.4% in 2020. That's not so bad actually. Predictions were worse previously, and what's very interesting is the big increase in trade flows in and out of China. Imports up 13%, exports up 9.9% in August. So those numbers going very well. Part of that's because China's having to buy in an awful lot of food at the moment because of all of the flooding along the Yangtze and the destruction of the rice paddies and other fields that they have along the river there. And that's really how they feed China through a lot of the fields along the Yangtze River. And part of the reason for building the Three Gorges Dam was to try and stop the flooding. But it goes to show that the dam either wasn't big enough or just not effective enough. And as a very learned and wise agronomist said to me the other day, he said, flooding is almost always man-made. It's man-made things that create flooding. So China is largely responsible for its own problems there. And as a result, it's having to buy billions of dollars worth of foodstuffs from around the world. And I noticed the Chinese central bank allowed the renminbi, or yuan, because it has two, the Chinese currency has two names, to actually rise the other day, which caused an interesting, some raised eyebrows in Forex markets. And I think they will, as they buy more and more food, they'll probably allow their currency to appreciate while they're doing that. And then probably they'll drop the currency again to help their exports when they finish.
Yeah. But the thing about IMF and forecasting is very hard because you don't know certain things. Accelerate at exponentially. Momentum gets behind something, and so they, they basically expand faster than your spreadsheet allows for, or they can not take off. Like for example, how do they know what the growth is going to be like if there's a problem with the trials, the clinical trials of COVID? Because already now there are three companies being paused. In America, like I said, there's J&J, which had 60,000 people in their trial, which is massive, of course. You're going to have one person, of course, throwing up something. You've got AstraZeneca in America. Everywhere else, they've restarted their trial. And then you've got Eli Lilly as well. So it's hard to forecast, isn't it? Because nothing runs smoothly. Like, say, even the stock market will start a rally and have a pullback. I remember the great financial crash. There's a couple of dips that didn't happen for a while, so everyone thought, "Oh, we're on the up here," and then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, you had a big dip. I think 2011, then 2014, another dip, and so it's never smooth. So forecasting, I wouldn't read a lot into it, would you? It's very hard to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and so some people are clearly better at it than others. The way I would say is, look, is the risk more on the upside or the downside? And do you orientate your investment strategy towards how you see the balance of risk? And that's a strategy I think that works very well in the stock market and also used to work very well in fruit machines.
Yeah, same thing. That's pretty much on AIM anyway. Okay, let's look at some individual companies and news out. Start off in the alphabetical order then, John. AAZ, which is Anglo-Asian mining. What's happening there at the moment?
Well, the stock price is, you know, hasn't gone up in the way that many gold companies have gone up. They are reviewing their production guidance at the moment because there is this conflict going on in the disputed territories between Armenia and Azerbaijan. I've actually been into those disputed territories in the past. Very poor place, unfortunately, and quite a sad area. But Armenia has been filling it with people in the way that Israel was filling the West Bank. And the Azerbaijanis are not overly impressed by that. I'm not sure how the conflict started. There's often been a bit of a skirmish going on up there. And unfortunately, there was some bombing. They bombed a town, the town of Ganja, which is somewhat south of the disputed territory. So somebody bombed a town that was not even in the disputed territories, and that's an escalation of the conflict. And that town is on the way to Anglo-Asian's Gedabek mine, and I think as a result of that, there may be a little bit of disruption to the gold mine. I don't actually see the gold mine as under threat. I think it's quite a long way away. Well, it is quite a long way away from the conflict and the zone, but there's always potential for a bit more disruption. And as I say, I think that's held back the valuation of Anglo-Asian mining, because whilst the gold price has gone up and everybody's margins have taken off, Anglo-Asian is sort of a bit held, is a bit left behind, which is a bit of a shame because it's a great company.
Yeah. Well, maybe keep an eye on that. That skirmish, that war, whatever it is, I don't know if that stopped the ceasefire. I know Russia tried to negotiate a ceasefire and it lasted less than 24 hours recently, but if they're more successful, then maybe the share price will rally there and, be valued more like its peers. Next is OMI, Orosomai. I don't know. I've seen the mention on social media a little bit, a bit of interest there from people. You can't tell how much interest is being garnered by a company, because they get some people just retweet everything with that ticker attached. So you don't know if it's one person doing the ramping or several. But what's happening there at OMI?
It's an interesting company. It was Uruguay Minerals. The old Uruguay gold mine finished. They spent a couple of years tidying up loose ends in relation to that. All the Uruguay stuff is gone. They're now focused on the Anza gold project in Colombia. That's quite close to something really rather large in Colombia, recent discovery and new mine up there. And Newmont, who were a 50-50 joint venture partner, have sold their stake or agreed to sell their stake to Agnico Eagle. And Orosur have been paid $650,000 as a first payment from Agnico's local subsidiary for exploration on that project. So it's a nice little project. I think Orosur is also under new management. A chap called Brad George has gone in there. I think he's shaking things up. I think the exploration will start to move a bit quicker now. It's all going a bit slow while Newmont acquired Goldcorp. And Newmont had its hands full, so didn't really want to advance anything else. But the interesting thing is Newmont still retained itself an anti-embarrassment interest in the project. So it still thinks it's got potential to become something really rather large. And it's in an area where quite big gold discoveries have been made. So we know that Anza's quite an interesting project, and there is potential there. And I think there's some other things that are quite likely to happen at Orosur to make it a more interesting business for small investors.
I see why it's garnered some interest there, because and the stock price has gone berserk in the last few days, isn't it? It's gone from literally, you could have bought this pretty much on the 1st of October, 1st of this month, at around about sort of 6 pence. It's now 24 pence. So it's a good return if you'd got in there when the volumes started kicking off, because, that's gone mad. And in fact, it's even up today a little bit, but it shot up from 6 pence to what was the close there? Close at 15 pence. In 2 days, it doubled in 2 days. So, yeah, wow. That's why there's some heat around it, I suppose. Cool. And finally, Scots Gold. They raised some money, John. What's happening there?
They're just accelerating their phase two expansion. They're going into production in November, so that's imminent. Clearly, the gold price rise is great for them. Very well timed. And they, because it's Scottish gold, I mean, they've got every Scottish jeweler is after this production. So they will sell the gold for a decent premium. So it's not just going to be the gold price on the screen. It's going to be something more than that. And possibly quite a big premium there for the gold. We'll, I don't want to guess at that number yet. So, but it's a very popular stock. People say there's not a lot of liquidity in it, but that's because the people who own the stock don't want to sell it. It's as simple as that. But I think it's suitable for small investors because it's a nice business and the cash flow will be coming through quite soon.
So yeah, so do you know how much they'll be generating? Because already it's valued at what 55 million. What do you reckon?
Well, if we look at a $1,400. Dollar gold price and the current currency rate with the US dollar and sterling, then we get an NPV of just shy of £100 million. So that's I think there's, you know, I see value in it, and it's not just the value there, but there'll be further value to come from exploration hopefully in the next few years. And just the fact that it's in Scotland, I think it's going to get a premium valuation.
Aye. Right, the share price has come off a little bit. 160 recently. That's kind of 117. So, like I said, it's starting to rise nicely previously, the last few months before this drop off a little bit. But maybe the momentum will return. Who knows? I mean, gold is. Where is gold at the moment, price wise? I've looked at it for a little bit. It's come back a little bit, isn't it? But where have we been? Trying to find the. There we are, gold. Just shy of 1900. But it did top out pretty much at 2075 or this. It's back about, it dropped $200. But, okay, it'll have another go, though, I think, won't it? It'll go above there again, 2000 again.
I think so. Gold is consolidating for the time being. I think it's probably drop a little bit more before the big players come back in again. But I do see another opportunity for gold to test $2,000 an ounce. And I think probably if and when the US announces further stimulus, there's still quite a lot of uncertainty in investors' minds about the global economy and the ongoing issues around COVID. I mean, it may be that we get a different strain of COVID-19, or shall we say we might get COVID-20 or COVID-21 next year. And you know, it is possible we may be having to live with this for much longer than we realize. And that's not me talking. That's me reflecting the words of somebody who works with viruses on a regular basis in a lab in Oxford. So yeah. Look, I don't want to depress everybody in the world.
No, I think even the head of the vaccine task force in the UK, I can't think of her name now, but she came out and said, listen, the first round of vaccines, we're lucky if they'll be sort of 50% accurate, effective, I mean. But that's fine because, of course, as long as you sort of, you know, you've got the doses up. But again, it's going to take till July next year, they reckon, the guy from Oxford said, didn't he, before we sort of start mass vaccinating people with an effective dose, you know. So it'll be a slow... Do you know, just when you life is like that, isn't it? Just when you thought Brexit was going to stand, we couldn't handle Brexit anymore, coronavirus came along, sick to death of that, and we still got Brexit at the end of this year as well. You think, God, it's never ending. Do you know what? I know what it's like to be one of those hamsters in those little wheels in a cage, you know? God, it's nonsense.
Well, you're right, because... They on the BBC News last night, there was a lot of talk about the virus, and then they gave about 1 minute to Brexit. But actually, that 1 minute felt like a welcome break.
Oh, no, you much when Brexit is a welcome break, you know you're having a hard time of it. I'm just sick of it. Anyway, lovely. Let's all buy gold. Cheers, John. Thanks for that, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want, with PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards, so you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open.
grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.